Best in regional sports from Southeast Michigan. WLEN Adrian, HD2, W243 AD, 96.5, The Cave. The best in regional sports.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Saint Sports Weekly Show here inside the Cave Studios. Jeff Bowman, along with Coach Fred Smith. I want to thank our sponsor, Siena Heights University, and also Magic Fountain Auto Wash. So thank you to them. And it's a wrestling night out here tonight. You had the women's wrestling coach in last week, right?
Yeah, we had there. It was a great show. I mean, and it's kind of makes it always more personable when you can see who you're interviewing. And I just thought it was a great show, but probably not as good a show as you had when you were sunning yourself on your, I don't know what, anniversary trip.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Good 35 of them.
Yeah, hey, that's a
she put up
that's
with me so far for 35 years. Holy cow. I know it. But, yeah, we did have had a great time sunning, got a little tan, so I'm good with that. But we're going to talk some wrestling as – we're going to bring in head coach Derek Mary. And Derek is, I tell you what, got a recruiting class. We're talking about all these guys in here, and we got a couple live we're going to talk with, but also looking at some of the guys you brought in. We'll talk a little bit about the team as well. And as you walked in, I didn't realize, you know, we've talked a few times, but it's always been over the phone. I hadn't realized that you hadn't been in studio yet either.
First timer. I'm a rookie.
So we got to get, well, we got a basketball. Let's start again. We got a baseball jersey, a women's basketball. Coach Silgerbeck says she needs a new one for that, but you know, we can do a single or something in here.
We're going to have to. Yeah, we're definitely going to have to.
Got to live this thing up, but it is pretty cool, all the stuff we do have in here. But again, we're going to talk with a couple of his wrestlers as well. Kind of local, especially one, Brandon Rao from Tecumseh, and then also Gage Parker from Parma, Michigan, went to Western, so we're going to talk a little bit about him as well and about how they got to Siena. But we know how you got to Siena. Derek is you know, another local kid. But how are things going? You know, you're getting ready to kick off a inner squad on Saturday or Sunday.
Yep, Sunday at 3. But yeah, things are going well. Doing what we need to do in the preseason to try to get ourselves ready. We've got a really tough first half of the schedule. We're traveling out to Grandview, Iowa, who is currently number one ranked. It's an open tournament, so it is an individual-based tournament. We're going out there to really try to find the best competition in the NAIA, and then hopefully, you know, get the victories we need to get to set ourselves up at the end of the year. After that, month of November, we have Marion coming to town. That was a team that finished in the top 10 last year. They got a couple D1 transfers in the offseason, so I'm sure in this first, second round of rankings that's going to show. So
you're at Albion as well?
Yep, at the Albion Open.
So with those opens now, can you still only wrestle the same amount of kids? Or since it's an individual and not a team scored, you can you have more than a normal roster?
Yeah, you can enter pretty much as many as you would like.
Okay.
There's a limit on how many of your guys are scoring,
right?
You know, towards that final team tally, but you can enter as many guys as you want to. So it's those open tournaments that really give some of our younger guys, or maybe guys that have found themselves a little lower on the depth chart, it's their opportunity to still go compete and to compete against, you know, real deal fellas.
Because
so.
I mean, you can always have wrestle offs, and you can do as much of that, but sometimes it's when the stage gets bigger, sometimes guys rise to that as well. You know, sometimes they don't do as well in wrestle-offs, but you throw them in the mat when it's against somebody else, you know, it's their time to shine. Sometimes that brings out different personality as well. And so probably in these opens, it kind of gives you an idea of maybe how somebody kind of rises to that under the pressure as opposed to okay, I got to wrestle this guy that I wrestle with all the time. He knows every move I have in here.
Right.
But I'm going against somebody else, let's see what they can do.
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, and you said it best, there are kids that when the spotlight comes on, they rise to the occasion. And maybe they don't perform as well at practice. And there's stories about people like that all through, you know, the history books of wrestling. And, you know, even guys like Coach Gable at Iowa have stories about not practicing national champions because they weren't very good at practice.
Yeah.
But when the lights came on, they could do it. And I have no shame in saying I was the opposite. When I was in college, I felt like I was a pretty good practice room guy. And I froze a lot out there on the mat. So I understand it from both sides. And so, yeah, we're always trying to put the best product out there on competition night. So you're right. Getting to see those guys in common competition, you know, against common opponents, that's a big thing for me when I have to make that final decision.
Well, then looking, too, at some of your stuff, I mean, you've got, you know, Henry Ford a couple different times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, also you've got, you know, St. Clair County and Southwest Michigan. You know, those are nice because you have teams. You don't have to travel too far. It gives you very good competition. But also, it's a great recruiting tool when you're getting these guys that you know have a couple of years left, too.
100%. And to be honest, some of those teams found their way onto our schedules. I reached out to their coaches because of how awesome I felt their recruiting classes were.
Right.
Knowing that, you know, you only have a little bit of time on the JUCO scene before it's either time to, you know, hit the workforce or find a new home to compete. And the state of Michigan in on the JUCO scene right now is doing a very good job. So that's why we like wrestling those JUCO guys, for sure.
Well, yeah, I mean, it makes it pretty easy because, again, you can see them live.
100%.
You know, you can get as much video from anybody, but when
and
you're up
– they can see us too, right?
Yeah,
they
exactly. Well, and, you know, we talked a little bit prior about knowing where your holes are at in your roster.
Yep.
And, you know, knowing how to recruit behind what you already have as well and knowing where you're going to need to fill in at. And that's a great way right there when you're looking around the mats at some of these JUCOs going, oh, yeah, that 35 guy, I need one of those in 2 years. And,
yep.
You know, not, I know that's where you're at maybe, aren't you? But I don't know. but those are the things that where you can find that as, you know, because, you know, we got two freshmen that we're going to be talking to today. Uh-huh. And you know. You love a freshman, but sometimes when you can get some 20-year-old kid coming in here too, there's a big difference there.
There's a big difference physically. Some of them, you know, if they've already wrestled JUCO and they've traveled to these open tournaments where there is D1 competition at the open tournaments, they've had that adjustment period, and they've also had a college academic, you know, adjustment period. It's sometimes hard to tell coming out of high school how good that GPA really is compared to others. But at least when you're talking to JUCO kid, you know that a college class is, generally speaking, tougher than a high school class.
Right.
And you know that they're doing a good job. If they weren't doing a good job, they wouldn't even be on the radar.
Right.
So,
and yeah. Some of these guys, in my experience, Coach, you know, and I think our junior college system in Michigan is great. We all know that. But it's not the same campus situation when you're commuting to school. Their hunger to be part of something where they can live the campus life, too. And sometimes, either financially or they're just not ready to leave home or whatnot, I think it's a great move that you're doing. And I know we want to get into your squad, but I want to ask you a quick question, which I ask the women. Talk about the makeup of the WAC. Now, I know you're in another conference, but how many WAC schools are wrestling now?
Including us, there'd be 7.
So we have our own deal now.
Yeah, there is only one team that I know of that is not in the WAC in every single sport, but in our wrestling conference they are. That would be Marion.
Yeah, Marion. That's you know,
but
which
they
is
are
great.
In other sports in the WAC. I do
right.
believe. So.
Well, in a few of the sports that the WAC has a more broader sports mm-hmm. offering than the Crossroads does. So we have a number of schools that play women's soccer.
Yes.
Other things. So that's great. So we have a 7 team. Where will the conference meet be this year?
Rochester, in
so
Michigan.
So that's great. So that answers that question. That's the first thing, and that's kind of tough when the women are. In the I can't remember, the Big South.
Or, yeah, Mid-South.
Mid-South.
Mid-South,
Mid-South.
They call it. Yeah.
And, you know, they're kind of traveling all over, and you can develop some, you want the ability to go to Grandview, but also to have those duels, which make wrestling so cool.
Yeah.
Now, how's the squad shaping up, and talk about your team thus far?
You know, I think it's where we want to be heading into what I consider to be the second year. Again, I think I said this maybe the last time I was on, guys. I don't even count that first COVID year.
No.
Yeah. Those boys didn't get to come.
They didn't get to really do much.
Yeah, and I wasn't with them yet. So really, this is how I think about it. This is our second year. I'm happy with where we're at. We could be better. We could be a lot worse, too. I mean, when you're talking second year, it's on track. But we still have a lot of work left to do. I'm not gonna say that we're at the standard that we want to be at, because I want to have goals set and standards set that are always very, very difficult to achieve. But to be realistic, this is a very good second-year team. Can it stand up to, you know, some of these programs that maybe have been around 5, 6, 7, 8 years in a dual meet? No. Do we have individuals that can wrestle with those teams? Yes, we do. And we'll continue to build off of that, you know, in these next few recruiting classes.
So. Yeah, and the big thing is because you're right, you're establishing your culture, your team, mm-hmm. and that's going to take a while. It's going to take a few recruiting classes. Yeah. But how large is your squad right now, Coach?
Right now we're at 31.
Wow.
Yeah, 31.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
So we're going in the correct direction.
Oh, I guess so. Yeah. You've got the numbers. And one of the funny things, I don't mean to say funny, but the ladies talked about they practice 5:15. When do you guys practice?
We're in the evenings.
So you go in the opposite end around 6?
6:30 p.m. 6:30. Usually is where we're at. You know, we're going to, after we get off the air here, we're going to go and have a little workout.
Right.
And probably start about 7:15-ish.
So. I got to just, if I know Jeff is going to reach over and smack me, but I use the microphone.
Good,
but in my reminiscing of my years coaching, I just really took my hat off to the many, many teams at Siena that got up that early.
Yeah.
But on my end, and I'm talking basketball, you know, we don't play at 5:15 or 6 o'clock in the morning. I'm sorry, don't anybody listen to me over there. And we didn't mind practicing in the evening a lot of times, because we did classwork, because we tell the guy that's when we're going to be playing, right?
Right.
So in that sense, it's a little easier. But on the other hand, the one thing that these people that get up early, boy, they can do it. They're going to be, you know, they're really going to be disciplined.
Absolutely.
But so you go about 6:30, and you're going to do an inner squad. How you, 31 guys, how are you shaping up on all your weight classes?
I'll be honest, we have some stack ups at a couple weights. There are a few weights in the bottom half of the lineup where, you know, we're starting to get four men deep. Which ultimately that's where you want to be. You want to have about four per weight class. But where we need to get some more guys in is in the mid to upper range. We're only sitting, you know, one or two deep at weights like 174, 184, 197. And if there are issues along the way, which there tend to be in the middle of an athletic season.
In a contact sport, there sure is.
Especially, you're definitely right about that, especially in a contact sport. And unfortunately, we've already had a few injuries here and there. Some of them not too bad. A couple of them, they are going to hold some guys out for a little while. So we do need some more depth at that 174, 184, right. 197 range.
We're listening to Saints Sports Weekly here on 96.5 The Cave and 965thecave.com. Once again, Jeff Bowman, Coach Fred Smith. And we're talking a little wrestling with head coach Derek Marion. And Derek, you talk about working out now. Do you guys have a facility on campus yet?
Not currently.
Okay.
Not currently. We have an agreement with Adrian High School to use their facilities at the moment. But the talks with the powers that be, with the people who sit in important seats at Siena Heights University, those talks have been going well.
Well, I know last we talked too, the support from the alumni wrestling, you know, because it's been gone for a while, but, you know, it's trending in the right direction, and I know they appreciate you from when we had talked last. And so is that helping as well to have the input from some of the former wrestlers that were on campus?
Definitely. Having those guys is usually when you're talking about a young program, you don't get to say anything about alumni. You don't have them. You're a fresh start young program, where at least in our situation, you know, these gentlemen were on campus, you know, 30 plus years ago, but they're in a good position professionally. They're in a good position as husbands and fathers, where their families have grown up and left home, and they're in a spot where they've got a little bit of extra time on their hands. Some of them have even retired. So they're gung-ho. They're ready to help us out, whether that means fundraising or whether that means just being there to support us, whether that means making phone calls and sending letters and emails to the people that need to hear their opinions.
Right.
So they're a massive, massive good thing for us.
I just talked to an alum. A few of them are coming down, I think, on the 11th,
correct,
I think, of December. So that's great, and you've really done a good job of that. And we all know that's just something we got to get done. Up at Siena, we have to get, we got to get that practice facility squared away, and everybody knows that. Mm-hmm. So you're not, having to go anywhere else. We're competing at Siena. Now, you'll run the inter squad at Siena?
Correct, right there in the field house.
Good.
Right on Fred Smith Court.
Yeah.
I gave Bauer a lot of many years, saying, you know, he's one of the best programs in the country and didn't even have his own track on campus. So
that's right.
It can be done, Derek.
It can be.
Yeah, he didn't. He did not have an outdoor track, guys, till the Laughlin Stadium came along 10 years ago.
That thought was actually creeping through my head prior to you even saying that comment, as I was thinking about Tim Bauer, and he's on campus. He's one of my favorite guys, and he's a guy I look up to because of the way that his athletes love him and have loved him through the years. And, man, when kids like you like that, they work hard, and when they work hard, they win.
That's right.
That's fun. You know, that's really fun.
Well, and you've seen that. You know, I mean, I go back to, you know, I graduated from Clinton when your dad graduated from Hudson, so I've, you know, we've known each other a long time, and what he's put into a program, and, you know, that's where you came from, you know, and then you got to Eastern and got to see a whole nother side of a program, but, you know, you're able to take from each of, you know, what you've learned from all the different guys that you've, you know, had in the room, you know, and especially at Hudson, not only your dad, there's a lot of other guys that were there to help out as well, that you could take examples from. Is that, how is that in trying to mold this program into your program?
You know, you can't possibly know things that you haven't learned from other people, right? You have to operate on experiences. That's the basis of your knowledge. It's really who you are, right? You're the sum of all of your experiences. So when I look back on things like that, my time at Hudson, that really gives me a good blueprint for how to do things here. Not that high school athletics and college athletics are the same. They're definitely not. There's massive differences between the two, but there's a lot of similarities too. And I think that the results you get while you're building are directly related to how much energy you pour into it. And I'm sure that that's probably true across the board in anything that we do in our lives. So when I was a kid, I saw my dad pour a tremendous amount of time and energy into his program. And I try to do the same, but there's a lot of early mornings and a lot of late nights, and it occupies a lot of my mind. I still try to do my best to be a good dad and be a good spouse at home and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, a lot of my thought process is dominated by wrestling and what I need to do for these boys, for these young men, to make this something that stands the test of time. So
one of the things that that we talked about with the ladies is, and you can maybe talk about this, some of the off-mat stuff you're doing in terms of maybe getting the guys acclimated academically, community stuff, or talk about some of the things that you guys are doing.
Well, I mean, academically, it's study tables multiple times a week, grade checks multiple times a week. It actually, we just did a grade check roughly an hour ago. And then just keeping track of their body language, If they look really tired, if they look really down in the dumps, generally speaking, that's a symptom of a larger, greater problem. And a lot of times, if you pay attention like that, you can catch that academic slide before it occurs.
Right.
So we're doing a much better job this year than we did last year. We did have some grade troubles last year. I have no problem saying that out loud. But all of those guys have fixed it. I mean, some of those guys are above 3.0s now, which is good for them.
You know, it's the biggest adjustment, Coach, is usually a freshman year. Mm-hmm. In fact, and, you know, we're talking long, long time ago, but there was a time that we really wouldn't really have a freshman on our varsity until we really knew they could handle it academically. Right. Now we could afford to do that, right? Now that wouldn't fly because of the way recruiting is and this and that, but because of the adjustment is so different. Now once, and you sounds like you've had some issues, but now that these people know what college life is like, and we're going to get a chance to talk to these young men, and you're right, you just hit it on the head, the idea of keeping an eye on them, because it's a tough, the first year or two is the toughest.
And to give these kids a little bit of credit too, we also have to remember what they lived through their last 2 years of high school. I want to forget all all the COVID stuff.
Sure do.
We all do. But we can't ignore that, you know, some of these kids, the number next to their name said 18-year-old kid, but in reality, they had lost 2 years socially and academically in their lives. High school during COVID was not normal high school. So there was an adjustment period because of that, too. And they've done a really good job adjusting to that. But yeah, just need to defend them a little bit too. It wasn't all their fault why they came in and struggled their very first year.
So. But it also takes, as you said, though, you know, the ones that are doing well now, sometimes it takes them to have that issue to go, oh, wow, now I realize what I still need to do or how I need to do it. You know, until you've done it, you don't know. And so
if you're
trying to do things and maybe you think you're doing it the right way and then it's like, oh, I guess I haven't. How do I need to adjust and make that better?
Yeah, I have a quote that I always remind myself of, too, is that failures are catalysts of change, right? So, like, you're 100% right. Sometimes you got to really screw it up to really realize that your whole way of thinking about it and your strategy needs to get
And better. I have to comment about Siena Heights. You know, been there 46 years. It is no question that it doesn't matter how good you are or whatnot. If you have two or more failures in mid-semester grades, you're sitting out, and and that's the Dominican way that academics do come first.
Yes.
And sometimes, I'm not saying, I mean, you know, the guys think, but then when push comes to shove, they realize, and the biggest thing, though, is the young men and young ladies finding their passion academically.
Yeah.
Because you get there and you're really not sure. You're doing this or that. And then when they find something that they're really into, you won't have to, all you're going to have to do in your grade says is let them go, you know?
Yep.
But 100%. What about any projects you're dealing with? Or have you, you know, what, have you, how do you fundraise? What, you know, anything you want to talk about?
I think, well, as far as like projects go, I'm a big believer, you know, that you got to be a good member of your community too. So I have set up some events that these boys have helped out with and volunteered with, and I'll brag about them a little bit. They did a good job. You know, when that tragedy happened over at Associated Charities, they were there to help for that.
And we heard, and that's a
shout out to Cody Waters for reaching out to us to help.
I heard about it myself. The great job, the young men. Yeah. That was so awesome.
And then similar. I guess we'll call it, I don't want to call it a tragedy, but for some people it was, you know, that stuff that happened downtown. Some people needed to have a new place to live.
Mm-hmm.
And so we helped out with that. You know, we loaded up some U-Haul trucks and we've, you know, in a couple different weeks, we've helped out several people move to their new places. So, but that stuff's important, right? Ultimately, at the end of the day, we're trying to be really tough guys in our sport. You know, you also have to keep in mind there's a lot of different ways to measure a man. And, you know, if you give a lot to other people, that's a good measurement of a person. So,
One more before we take a break and get to the kids, Coach, is, you know, you were talking about, you know, looking at their body language and things of that nature with academics and that. But the one big thing that you have that a lot of sports don't is cutting weight as well.
Yeah.
And trying to figure out where they're at there and how to do it the proper way, mm-hmm. and figuring all that out. You know, I know in high school's got the alpha system. How does that work at the collegiate level?
The best way I could describe it for high school coaches that know a little bit about the alpha system, the college system is like that on steroids. It's way more in depth. It's monitored electronically through the track wrestling system, the optimal performance calculator. So there's no ability to screw it up without, you know, kind of getting caught, getting jammed up. So one of the ways that I approach the whole idea of weight classes and cutting weight is it has to come from the athlete. I don't tell these kids what weight that they're going to wrestle, especially in a young program. They kind of decide that. And what I've found is that if they feel like they own it, they take care of it better, just like anything, right? So if I leave it up to them and they decide that they're going to go down a weight class, they will be more successful cutting weight than if I dictate mm-hmm. that to them.
That's a good point.
So that's been our approach to it. We don't have a ton of guys that cut a lot of weight yet. I'm sure in the future that will happen. Kids will make that choice because they want to see the competition floor. They want to see the mat. So we'll see how that goes. But as of right now, they're doing a good job with it.
And I for somebody that is didn't know what you're talking about, what's it called? The
Alpha.
Alpha. What is that? Just to somebody that would be listening out there that doesn't know.
There were some tragedies in the sport of wrestling in the 1990s. One of those occurred at the University of Michigan, where an athlete was lost because of improper weight management techniques, lost his life. And so the governing bodies stepped in and they developed this system that monitors hydration, body fat percentage, total body weight.
Gotcha.
And they put it into a formula. That formula then spits out a descent path. Where what that means is that the athlete, based on those three numbers, would be given an allotted amount per week that he or she could lose.
Gotcha.
And then through a chart on the calendar, it tracks it all the way down to what they believe is the minimum weight that this human being can successfully weigh and still be healthy.
Hey, thank you. Yeah. That helps me out.
Yeah, so sure. Like at the high school level, I mean, you can weigh in and you can go, what, one up and one down?
Correct.
From where you're at there. Mm-hmm. So where is it at the NAIA? Is it still kind of that trickle down or up effect where you're at one, you can bump up one or bump down one?
You can definitely bump up. What you can't do is you cannot weigh in at the weight class above you. If you do that, you restart your descent path. And again, let's say the athlete, because of the body fat percentage and total body weight, maybe the combination of those two things, the OPC, the optimal performance calculator, tells the athlete you can lose 1.37 pounds per week. So if you weigh in at the next weight class above, you now have X amount of weeks before you're eligible at the low weight class.
Right.
So that's how they are trying to cut this yo-yo effect that some people have maybe talked about in wrestling, where the athlete gains and loses 15 pounds, 16 pounds in a very short amount of time, which obviously that's terrible for the human body. You know, the body reacts pretty poorly to that. So they're doing a good job. I know some of the guys don't like it. They would love to be able to wrestle multiple weights all over the place, but, you know, it does keep them safe.
Yeah, that's a great point. So, all right, well, perfect. We had a nice long conversation with Coach. And then we're going to kick him out of his chair and bring in a couple of his student-athletes coming up now. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be back with more Saints Sports Weekly here on 96.5 The Cave, 965thecave.com.
The top online bachelor's degree program in Michigan is now offering a completely online MBA degree. The Siena Heights University MBA will help students hone skills and better develop their talents as ethical business innovators. Business graduates, as well as students from many other majors, including nursing and engineering, are good candidates for the Siena Heights MBA. And no prerequisite entry courses are required. Classes are enrolling now. To find out more, visit start.sienaheights.edu/MBA. Learn what the Siena Effect can do for you.
Getting the kids to practice on time, remembering if it's your day to bring snacks, making it to the game with a clean jersey. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with Auto Owners, insurance doesn't have to be one of them. Auto Owners works with independent agents who answer when you call, so you can worry about more important things, like whether your kid is going to run toward first or third base. That's simple human sense.
Hi, this is Marty Nine with Iyett Insurance in Blissfield. Give me a call at 517-486-4381.
Here's a great driving tip. Avoid muddy, dirty roads, roads under construction, or really just anything that can make your vehicle dirty. Plain and simple. But if you can't, you must never avoid Magic Fountain Auto Wash. At Magic Fountain Auto Wash, you can save your vehicle from all the damage from that dirt and grime. Why allow the Michigan roads the chance to reduce the value of your vehicle when it can be prevented? Magic Fountain Auto Wash, with self-serve bays and touchless drive-thru, 3 locations in Adrian, Hudson, and Britton. Make dirty cars a thing of the past.
Want to stay home and finish your degree? One of the top online programs in the nation is right in your backyard. Siena Heights University offers affordable online undergraduate and graduate degree programs, as well as on-ground classes on our Adrian campus for those who want to commute. Financial aid may be available, and ask us about our Siena Tuition Advantage Price Certainty Plan. Stay home, save money, and finish your degree with Siena Heights University. Find out more at siennaheights.edu.
Looking for a place to host your next party, meeting, reunion, or reception? Let Siena Heights University be your local event destination. Siena Heights has facilities for almost every occasion and budget. Air-conditioned Benincasa Hall has seating for up to 250 people and is perfect for wedding receptions, anniversaries, and reunions. Need a special space for a birthday party? Dominican Hall provides large party rooms and a 125-seat auditorium for viewing videos and hosting a wide variety of entertainment. Have a smaller event? Siena Heights offers a variety of affordable, customized spaces on campus to fit your needs. Be sure to reserve your space now because all facilities are subject to availability. Siena Heights has also partnered with nationally recognized Chartwells to provide a delicious and wide-ranging menu of catering services, giving you a one-stop solution for your special occasion. To reserve your space or to learn more information about all the facility options at Siena Heights University, contact events at siennaheights.edu or visit siennaheights.edu/events. Siena Heights University, where Lenawee County meets.
And welcome back inside the Cave Studios. Jeff Bowman, Coach Fred Smith with you here on Saint Sports Weekly, and it's a men's wrestling night tonight. Again, we talked with Coach Derek Mary, and now we're going to talk with a couple of his student athletes that are, one's real local and the other one's not too far away, as we bring in from Parma, and he went to Western High School, Gage Parker. Gage, good to have you in.
Mm-hmm. Good to be here.
Get a little closer to that.
Yeah, you're right up there.
All right.
Yeah. We want to hear you.
All right.
And then also from Tecumseh, Brandon Rao. Brandon, good to have you in as well.
Great to be here. I'm really thankful for the opportunity.
Yeah. Well, so give us a little bit of how you guys ended up here at Siena Heights. What was the, kind of the recruiting process and then part of the say, yep, this is where I want to be?
So I actually had the chance to work with Coach Mary a lot during my junior year, going into my senior year for wrestling, because he ran a club out of Adrian College, actually before he was going to be a coach at Siena. And I got to meet him there, and I just really enjoyed his coaching and his outlook on wrestling, and that was one of the things that really caught me. And then being a local as well, you know that Mary name, and that's if you want to wrestle for a Mary if you want to be good at wrestling.
Did you wrestle for AJ? Was he a coach there still?
I had 1 year under Coach Mary.
Okay.
And like I said, he was one of the best coaches I've ever experienced, and his passion, his fire was really great.
Yeah, he was a good man, that's for sure. How about yourself?
So for me, he reached out to me after my junior year, kind of going into my senior year, and I remember coming on a visit and hanging out with the team and stuff, and that was a lot of fun. And out of the other coaches that I'd been recruited by, Mary was probably one of the realest people I'd ever met, and that was something that really drew me in, and I ended up signing in, like, January of my senior year.
Did either one of you have any trepidation with it being a new program or newer program as far as, you know, really not established, or, you know, did that come across your mind as, man, I want to go somewhere that's got some history or that, or was it, hey, I want to build our own history?
I honestly didn't really worry about that because it's a chance to, you know, build something of your own. Coach mentioned that to me on my visit. Like, you want to be able to bring your children back here and be like, I built this place. You know, I made this program to a certain extent. And that's something really awesome to be a part of.
Yeah, I would agree with Brandon there, kind of being able to make your own mark on the program.
I just, hey, I want to ask both of you, and I guess Brandon first, since you're a Tecumseh guy and the football team over there is doing really well, and that's exciting, right?
Yeah.
Talk about your high school career and just about your experience in high school, and then what are your goals, not just wrestling-wise, but academically? What kind of, you're looking to study, and so it's a long question, but I'll start with you first.
So my freshman year of high school wrestling, I never cracked the varsity lineup, actually, and I believe I had a losing varsity record just in general for the tournaments I got to go to that were individual.
Right.
So it was really a struggle. But after that year, I got dedicated. I started doing off-season programs, and I just wanted to be good. You know, like, I was on a team that was, I believe, ranked fifth in the state.
Yep.
You know, some of the best wrestlers I've ever
been
in a room with.
Yeah.
And then that next year, my sophomore year, I kind of had a breakout season. I didn't do awesome to my standard, but I was a regional qualifier. Went from, like, 5 wins to 30.
Wow.
And, it was a really great year to come back after, you know, that kind of a poor season. Junior year, I actually lost that year. I broke my ankle, and it was mixed with COVID. I got to wrestle one match, and that was the team district championships. And I was basically on one leg, but I had one job, and it was to get the pin, and I did it, and we won that title. And that's a memory I'll always have. It was really awesome. And then, you know, I have to make up for that year I just missed. So that's when I actually met Coach Mary, and, you know, I never looked back. I believe for almost a month and a half, I was not home because I went from one wrestling camp to another. I spent 2 weeks in Missouri, actually, just training almost 6 hours a day just because I had to make up for that time I lost. Rolling into senior year, that was like for sports, just in general, social life, that was a really great time. The football team, that's kind of turned around. That was awesome to be a leader of that. Going into wrestling, you know, I want to do the same thing. Individually, I had a good year, but I lost. I was one match short of being All-State, and that's a skeleton in my closet forever. You know, I worked really hard, and I didn't get that. But I'm really thankful for the journey of high school wrestling overall, and it was just great. And then moving into college, you know, I want to get a degree. I want to do great. I want to have the same academic success I had in high school, around a 3.5 GPA. I want to hold something like that in college. Wrestling-wise, like I said, I want to make my mark, you know, be a part of this rising program, get as good as I can at wrestling, and then I have aspirations later in life of being able to take all of this that I've learned and show, like, a younger generation, be a coach, hopefully one day.
Oh, that's outstanding. Do you have any idea? I know you're taking pretty much general courses right now. Any idea what you might want to major in?
I don't really, but at the same time, I do, because I'm working on maybe trying to be a DNR officer. I really love, you know, the wildlife, fishing, hunting, all that type of stuff. So right now I'm taking some intro classes to criminal justice, environmental science.
Good, very good. And that's great. And I got to say to you, same thing happened to me. I lost my whole junior year breaking my ankle, my whole junior year. But I also will, personally, I have a granddaughter at Purdue. She's a sophomore. She started out in education, and she finally got something. It's only her third semester, but as we like to say, you're tasting a lot of areas, and you'll figure it out. So congratulations on your journey. And now we're moved to you. Talk a little bit about your athletic and academic journey.
Yeah, so my freshman year, I originally wasn't on varsity until the guy that was in front of me, he ended up dislocating his knee, which mm-hmm. benefited me. It was bad for him. And then I was able to wrestle varsity, but he came back around the time of district, so he wrestled a district rather than me. So I didn't even wrestle at districts my freshman year. My sophomore year, I was on varsity, and I ended up winning conferences, but then districts was the next weekend, and I think with the cutting of weight, it had really started to catch up to me. I started to get kind of sick, and I was one match away from making it to regionals. And then COVID hit between my sophomore and junior year, and I ended up putting a lot of work in, actually, over that time because I didn't have school, so I had nothing better to do but work out and wrestle and stuff. So when my junior year came around, I ended up winning districts, and I was runner-up at region, and then I placed sixth at state that year. So it was a super successful season. It was a huge turnaround. And I went from wrestling 140 up to wrestling 160.
Wow.
In that gap. So not only had I gotten a lot bigger, but I'd also gotten a lot better. And it was a huge turnaround in my wrestling career. And then my senior season came around, and I was on that similar path. Like, I thinking I was going to place hopefully higher than I did my junior year. I'd placed sixth that year. But three weeks before district, I ended up separating my shoulder. Wow. And they said 2 to 6 weeks. And I took 2 weeks off, and I started wrestling again a week before. And then I injury defaulted at fourth at district and went to region, and I had six guys ranked in the top 10, including me, at my region. So, and then with my shoulder injury, I wasn't able to make it out. So that was kind of my high school season. I left off, not how I wanted to. I definitely wanted to place and at least go to states that year. So it was a little disappointing, but I had known that I had signed to Siena, and I was like, well, at least I get to further my wrestling career. I get to keep going. And so I'm really excited to wrestle these next few years. And then with school, I'd like to keep similar to how I was in high school. I had a 3.5 as well.
Whoa.
In high school, so I'd like to keep something similar to that. And I'm majoring in business, just general business, and I want to get my master's in logistics and kind of go somewhere in that route in the future.
So how's it been so far? I guess, Brandon, first, juggling the practice and academics. Has it been tough for you? Or is it, what's the big difference between, tell our audience, between high school and college?
I actually think it's easier to juggle. My days are much shorter, and I have time built in to do my work. And I have a lot of time to myself, so, you know, that's when you choose. Do you want to goof off, or do you want to do your homework? And normally I choose the good option, so that really benefits me. I guess you could say I'm taking classes that I'm a little bit more passionate about, so the work can keep my attention a little bit longer.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, with high school sometimes, not everybody all day long needs to be there what they're doing. You know, and that's when you get to the college level, it's like, okay, here, I'll take the classes I need for what I'm going to do, and then I have time to do the work instead of, you know, yeah, I'm going to do this. Oh, now I have to take this class over here, even though it's not going to do nothing for me. Takes away from the time I need to do my work for what I'm really needing to do. So that's one great thing about college. Gage, what, same with you?
Yeah, I think it's a lot of like just personal time management, because in high school you're told to do this, and
that's right.
From 7:30 until 5:30 mm-hmm. at night with practice, I know exactly what I'm doing. They have it structured out for me now. I have a class at 9 a.m. and one at 1, and then I have practice at 6, and I have a lot of free time. And like Brandon said, I have the option to choose whether I stay on task or whether I goof off.
Right.
I would definitely prefer it, though. I hated sitting in class all day. I was like, I'm wasting so much time right now just sitting here.
Well, and that, I don't mean to interrupt, but that's – I'm glad you guys talked about it, because having coached and recruited a lot of times is really to let the young men know that, like you mentioned – and you're being nice when you're saying 7:30 to 5:30. And game night is a lot later, right?
Right.
Yeah,
but in
sure.
class, especially 7:30 to 3 or 4, mm-hmm. you're in school and you may be in a study or wherever. In college, you might have that 8 or 9 class and not do anything the rest of the day that night until night. And then what are you going to do? And that's what I think gets a lot of the young people is that freedom. If somebody's not on their you-know-what telling them what to do.
Yeah. Well, and then you don't have your parents, you don't have teachers. Like, nobody is behind you telling you what to do or any guidance, really.
Only the guy is sitting right over your shoulder now that's keeping an eye on you. And that's coach, you know. Yeah.
That's for sure. All right, well, we're going to take another quick timeout. We're going to come back and talk a little more wrestling. I got a great question for Brandon when we get back as well. So we have more Saints Sports Weekly right here, 96.5 The Cave, 965thecave.com.
Want to stay home and finish your degree? One of the top online programs in the nation is right in your backyard. Siena Heights University offers affordable online undergraduate and graduate degree programs, as well as on-ground classes on our Adrian campus for those who want to commute. Financial aid may be available, and ask us about our Siena Tuition Advantage Price Certainty Plan. Stay home, save money, and finish your degree with Siena Heights University. Find out more at siennaheights.edu.
Here's a great driving tip. Avoid muddy, dirty roads, roads under construction, or really just anything that can make your vehicle dirty. Plain and simple. But if you can't, you must never avoid Magic Fountain Auto Wash. At Magic Fountain Auto Wash, you can save your vehicle from all the damage from that dirt and grime. Why allow the Michigan roads the chance to reduce the value of your vehicle when it can be prevented? Magic Fountain Auto Wash, with self-serve bays and touchless drive-through, 3 locations in Adrian, Hudson, and Britton. Make dirty cars a thing of the past.
At Siena Heights University, we make transferring easy and ensure you're on your best path forward. Study online with our nationally ranked program, or commute from home and get the traditional college experience by taking courses on our Adrian campus. Financial aid may be available, and ask us about our Siena Tuition Advantage Price Certainty Plan. Stay home, save money, and finish your degree with Siena Heights University. Visit siennaheights.edu and find out what the Siena Effect can do for you.
The top online bachelor's degree program in Michigan is now offering a completely online MBA degree. The Siena Heights University MBA will help students hone skills and better develop their talents as ethical business innovators. Business graduates, as well as students from many other majors, including nursing and engineering, are good candidates for the Siena Heights MBA. And no prerequisite entry courses are required. Classes are enrolling now. To find out more, visit start.siennaheights.edu/MBA. Learn what the Siena Effect can do for you.
Looking for a place to host your next party, meeting, reunion, or reception? Let Siena Heights University be your local event destination. Siena Heights has facilities for almost every occasion and budget. Air-conditioned Benincasa Hall has seating for up to 250 people and is perfect for wedding receptions, anniversaries, and reunions. Need a special space for a birthday party? Dominican Hall provides large party rooms and a 125-seat auditorium for viewing videos and hosting a wide variety of entertainment. Have a smaller event? Siena Heights offers a variety of affordable, customized spaces on campus to fit your needs. Be sure to reserve your space now, because all facilities are subject to availability. Siena Heights has also partnered with nationally recognized Chartwells to provide a delicious and wide-ranging menu of catering services, giving you a one-stop solution for your special occasion. To reserve your space or to learn more information about all the facility options at Siena Heights University, contact events at siennaheights.edu or visit siennaheights.edu/events. Siena Heights University, where Lenawee County meets.
And welcome back in the Cave Studios. Jeff Bowman, Coach Fred Smith here with Saints Sports Weekly, brought to you by Siena Heights University and also Magic Fountain Auto Wash. And now we talked wrestling tonight. We talked with Coach Mary a little bit ago. Now we got a couple of his wrestlers, Gage Parker and Brandon Rowe from Tecumseh, and Gage is from Parma. Okay, my big question to you, Brandon. What's it like having to practice in Adrian's wrestling room?
You know, it's a big deal. You know, it's a big rivalry. But It's not as crazy as I would once think, but if I was in high school, I would never do that. I wouldn't even step foot in there. But there's one reason I'm going in there, and it's because I'm a Siena Heights wrestler. But you catch me doing that when I'm still a Tecumseh Indian, and I'd never hear the end of it from anybody at that high school.
That's why I had to ask that. I'm thinking that would be a tough thing to, you know, step aside and go, oh, there's Maple stuff on here. Now, okay, now I'm Siena, not Tecumseh, so.
Yep.
But we know what's great about that, I think, as opposed to my day, the rivalry is there, but it seems like the young men and ladies know each other so much more. Back in 72 when I graduated, just did our 50th, we didn't know those kids. Now they've played against each other since they were 10 years old. So the rivalry is there, but I don't think it's as like, it's just for pride for your school.
No, I think a lot. Social media is different. I mean, you guys know each other and, you know, play on some teams together or, you know, go out to the barn and wrestle out there with a bunch of guys from the county, you know. So you do know each other a lot more than, back in our day, too.
Yeah, and that's all I'm saying. But and that's what makes rivalries great. At Parma, who was your big rival?
Our rival was Northwest.
Yeah, naturally, of course, yeah. Because it's Jackson, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it is fun playing against those, wrestling against guys that you do know too, because, you know, it's fun. And if you get a leg up on somebody and that, it's always nice to be able to kind of have the bragging rights a little bit. But, you know, I do think sometimes it is funner to compete against somebody like that than somebody that you don't know either.
Yeah, there's like some of the most enjoyable sports moments I've had are those, you know, those big rivalry games. And of course, you know, in wrestling in particular, it doesn't matter to a certain extent where they're from, because once you got a wrestling rival, he's your rival. It doesn't matter if he lives 2 hours away or lives in Adrian. You wrestle him 3 times a year, you know, you guys are trading wins back and forth. You're going to know that guy, and, you know, you're going to have a mutual respect for each other.
What are some of the most memorable, or who was that guy for you that was kind of that rival guy that you really always looked forward to, you know, meeting up with?
I truthfully, I guess I had a guy from Pinckney I would wrestle a lot, but I never seen him my senior year. I never got to wrestle him. But there was a guy my senior year, we only wrestled twice, but the first time we ever wrestled, he beat me, and you know, it was not a match I was supposed to lose, and it was one of the biggest disappointments of my season to that point. And then it's the league tournament, and it's the semifinals, and I've got that guy, you know. I want him, you know. I'm not backing away from this, and this is a big moment for me. It's redemption, and I go into that match, and I majored him, which meant I actually beat him by 8 or more points.
Right.
So like I put the, you know, any question about it, I basically made it like, you know, I'm the better guy. I worked for this and stuff like that.
What school was he from?
Saline.
Okay. How about yourself, Gage?
For me, I wouldn't say it was like one person, but I remember my sophomore year, it was team districts, and we had Northwest in the finals, so it was team versus team, and I was the very last match, and my coach did this on purpose. I ended up getting bumped up, and I was the very last match, and the kid that I was wrestling, he had beaten me earlier in the season, but I beat him for conference champ. Like literally that Saturday, and then the Wednesday was team districts. So 4 or 5 days later, I've got to wrestle the same kid again. I won by like a point or two. It was a very good match. And we're at this point, and we're down by, I think we were down by 3 points. So I needed to win this match to tie it up. And, you know, anyone else experienced it, but I thought I had to pin him in order for us to win. So, you know, I'm sitting here, and I'm winning, but I'm on top in the last like 30 seconds, third period, and he's like holding my hand, and he's stalling. And he wouldn't let me turn him, and I came off the mat in tears because I thought we lost because I didn't pin him. And obviously, like, it wouldn't just be my fault.
Right.
People are wrestling and stuff. But it ended up tying us up, and I didn't realize that, and I'm like, oh. And then it ended up going down to fourth criteria for the tiebreaker on who had won the most matches, and I think it was, like, 8-6 or something like that. They just had more pins than we did. So we ended up winning, and it's, like, dead silent in this gym. It is completely, you hear a pin drop. And then when the announcer says, Parma Western, one district, and the thing is, my coach is like, we are not going to celebrate here. We are waiting until we get back to the school to celebrate. I don't want to hear you guys say anything. And the second they told us we won, he's the first person to jump up. You know? He's got his fist in the air. He's jumping out onto the mat, yelling, and everybody follows behind him. And it was a super cool experience that year.
Well, let's hope you guys get to build some of those at Siena, right?
Oh, no yeah. question. I learned something again tonight. A tied wrestling match, how he decided. I had no idea. Practice-wise, give us an idea of what your day is like. You know, what time do you get there, and how long does practice last, and what do you do at practice, and those type of things.
Coach likes us to be to practice early. I try to get there at 6:15, so I leave my dorm around 6:05 and get there 6:10, 6:15, get shoes on and warmed up and stuff. We'll normally start our practice off with like a good 20 or 30 minute warm up. Let's running, stretching, do some gymnastics and stuff like that. And then we'll start with drilling, and then the practice will like progressively get more intense. And we normally go from 6:30 to 8:30 is what it's been recently. The earliest we've gotten out, I think, is like 8:10. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll run through practice, and at the end of practice, it's always 50 pull-ups and 100 push-ups, no matter how tired we are. Just last Thursday, we had like our first like intentionally hard practice is the best way I can put it, because they're all hard. and then, you know, it's 8:30 on the dot, and he's like, all right, 50 pull-ups, 100 push-ups, and I'm like so dead and tired. Yeah. And I'm like, all right, here we go. You know, so it's fun.
I can't really, you know, explain it any better. You know, like it's a grind for sure. But, you know, we show up early. You know, I'm a guy. I don't have a dorm, so I'm just kind of wandering around.
Living at home.
Sometimes I'm there 40 half hour early, just because, you know, I don't have anywhere to really hang out. So I just get there, and you know, it's time to focus now. So it's about 6 o'clock, and I'm kind of ready for practice.
See, that's when you go to his room and take a nap for a little while, or yeah. hang out. You gotta make those friends on campus that have dorm rooms, yeah. and be a squatter for a little while.
Do you have any trouble keying down when you? That was what I was always concerned with our guys, because you know you're pumped up. It's 8:39 to key down so you can go to bed at a reasonable hour. Has that been an issue for you at all?
For me personally, it hasn't, because my earliest class is at 8 a.m. and that's only on Tuesdays and Thursdays. but it's not that bad, because for high school, I'm used to getting up at 6:30. Yeah. So, and I normally procrastinate really bad. So I save my homework until that night after practice. I'm like, okay, I got 2 hours to get this done. And so I'll stay up until 11 or 12. And by that point, I'm just pretty beat from the day. I mean, practice is late, but I've also probably worked out earlier in the day before, and I've had classes and done homework, and I've had other things to do. So by the time I get done with practice, sometimes I don't even want to shower or anything. I just want to lay down and go to bed. Like, I am just done for the day.
How is the morale and the camaraderie of the men on your team? Are y'all coming in a young group from a lot of different places? How's it getting to know people and everything?
You know, none of us are the same. We're all from like different backgrounds, so you know, people are meeting other people, and it's definitely a shock. You know, like none of us are used to other people like how we are. So, but no matter what, you know, we've come together, we hang out, you know, we work out together, we eat lunch together. You know, we have like a big table, you know, 15 guys at lunch, stuff like that. When there's time, you know, we'll play video games together. We're doing almost everything together. You know, we're doing the most we can. You know. Bond.
Tailgating and stuff with football games, has that been fun?
Yeah, when you can.
Well, again, go ahead.
I would just say the biggest difference is, like, from high school, I've known all those people since, like, middle school, you know? And then even with, like, close rivalries in your conference, you've competed a lot of those people, even in middle school, and then now in high school, and then you come, and I have never met most of these people in my life. You know, they're from different states, different areas, and it's fun to get that new experience again and meet new people.
That's well said.
Yeah.
Well, again, guys, we really appreciate your time here, and good luck to both of you guys. And do you guys think that you're going to get quite a bit of time on the mat as freshmen?
Yeah. Well, with a young team, for sure, you know, we're all going to go to these individual tournaments and these duels. You know, there's a shot that we both crack the lineup or get to have some time wrestling the duels. But, you know, no matter what, you kind of make your own path. So if you keep on it, you know, eventually you always get your shot.
Yeah, I would agree with Brandon there. And I guess the best way to find out is scrimmage on Sunday.
There you go.
That's right.
Well, again, guys, we appreciate it. And, Coach, We appreciate it as well. And good luck. You're starting off this weekend with the Inisquad scrimmage, and then was it November 5th at Adrian College for their open? So it's right around the corner. So we appreciate it very much. And again, good luck to you, and hopefully continued success.
And great here. Job tonight. Yeah.
Exactly. That's for darn sure. So once again, you're listening to Saints Sports Weekly. Jeff Bowman, Coach Fred Smith, also with head coach, wrestling coach Derek Mary, and Gage Parker and Brandon Rao. Once again, here, 96.5 The Cave, 965thecave.com.
Nationwide on CBS Sports Radio. This is the Zach Gelb Show.
We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family? Well,